This is the UVic Military Oral History Program interview with James Vanyo, V-A-N-Y-O, recorded on March
15th, 2011,
at his home in Saanich, interviewed by Steve North, N-O-R-T-H. First of all, Jim, do I have your permission to record this interview?
Sure, I don't care.
Good. Okay, so we were talking and you're going to
begin your story. Mr. Little had a very large and expensive farm. And I was mostly alone all the time. You know, you'd be out in the fields and back in, and by the time I got things ready to weigh for the next day, you know, it was time to go to bed maybe. But I didn't have any life at all, really, except hard work. And he was the kind of a guy that liked to work hard, and he did work very hard, give him credit. And he treated me not too badly, but still there was a lot of work. And no matter where you went, you know, I was about 15 or something like that. And anyway, I learned everything there was about farms, and it wasn't. So we were having dinner one Sunday, and I thought, heck with this, I'm going to eat my dinner and I'm off. And that's what I did. I jumped on my bike after dinner. We finished, and I never said anything to anybody. But I jumped on the bicycle, and I pedaled the bike for 20 miles. And it had one of those clunk, clunk, you know, it was worn. And I went 20 miles with that to a place called, I just forget the name of the place. It'll come. Irene might know. But anyway. Irene?
Hedward.
What'd she say?
Edward? Hedward?
Hedward.
Hedward. Hedward? Does that sound?
Hedward.
I can't understand you, Irene.
I think it's
Cudworth.
Cudworth.
Cudworth. Yeah. This right. Saskatchewan called Cudworth. And I went 20 miles from his farm to Cudworth on my bike. There was a farmer close by, and I stopped and talked to him, and I said, well, I'm going in town, join up. Oh, he says, is that right? I said, yeah. He said, how about buying my bike? He says, okay. He looked at it. I says, well, it's got a flop on it, clunk, clunk, you know, that's the way you're going to, well, that's all right, I can handle that. You know, he had a shop and everything, and probably did. Well, anyway, he gave me $11. And then up on the little, he was in a little gully, and up on the top was, there was a small hotel, a place where you could eat and stay the night and that. So I took some of my 11 bucks out and I give them what they wanted, and they fed me, and then they showed me my bed, which was very satisfactory. And I was on my way, and next morning I woke up. They got me up in time to catch a bus that used to go from one of the northern towns, you know. And anyway, I got on the thing and gave them the money, and away I was on my way to Saskatoon, which was even better. And I got into Saskatoon. We knew where everything was because we lived there for about a month, I guess. Or somewhere around there, I forget now. For a while we lived there, and we knew all the city. We went to school there, so I knew where to go if I didn't like the offer I got from the Navy, because I went straight to the Navy. All those people that didn't have water all Well, they all joined Navy ships.
All wanted to go to the Navy.
Yeah, you heard of that before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was going to go, and he says, well, that's fine. He says, if you're fit and everything, we'll take you, but we'll still have to send you home. I says, not this turkey. You're not sending me anywhere. I'll go somewhere else. He says, well, go see the Air Force. And I thought, no, I'm not going up the Air Force because, I'll probably, with a low grade, I'll probably end up being some help out somewhere at the place, you know. I won't be happy that way.
Right.
So I went over to the Army where they were situated, mm-hmm. and I know exactly where they were. So I went in and if you're in good condition, we'll take you again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. Well, I was in good condition and I had breakfast. I had everything, place to sleep that night, and from there on in, I was in the Army.
So they signed you up right away? That would be in fall of 1942?
Pardon?
Would that be in the fall of 1942? Does that sound about right?
It could have been just about right. Now, 42, 43, 44, when did that war break out? They were already fighting.
Yeah, it started in
42.
You started in 42. But
yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, oh yeah, and I fit in nice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I took basic training and they sent us down to Regina from Saskatoon.
Right.
The best base for training people was for military use was in Regina.
Regina.
Yeah.
Now, what made you join the Army? Did you know you were at war at this time? Canada was at war.
Well, I could hardly wait.
And you knew who you were fighting?
Yeah.
And why were you fighting them?
Well, at that time we were fighting them because the Germans were attacking. They were attacking France and all those countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured everybody else was. They could hardly wait to join up anyway.
Right.
Oh, yeah. When they sing Bluebirds Over the White Cliffs of Dover, oh, geez, they just send you nuts.
Everybody loved that. Now, did you have brothers?
Pardon?
Did you have brothers?
Two.
And did they join up as well?
Yeah.
Yeah?
When my older brother had just joined, I was in maybe September, I'd say maybe September, because we were still harvesting. Frank, my older brother, he had gone through all that. And he, while I was doing my basic training in Regina, he came and visited me because he was on his way overseas. So we had a nice chat and he went on.
And what branch was he in?
Oh, hey. Tanks.
Tanks. He got tanks. Good.
Yeah.
Right.
They wanted me to go into some sort of the name of it is, but all it was just sort of a one of those things they had. I forget now. But anyway, don't matter. But I wasn't going to be taken in, and I didn't want to be sweeping for people. I wanted to boom, boom.
Right, you wanted some action.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
Did your younger brother Al, did he join up as well?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was he in the tanks as well?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you're all tank men?
All three of us.
All right.
And we all came back safe.
I'm so glad to hear that.
He was in Italy.
Oh, yes.
That's what they said.
He, Frank?
Frank, yeah.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in Italy. And I was, when, of course, we did, went over to England and thought it was great. than everything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, the group I was with in training in England.
Before, I'm sorry to interrupt, but before we get to England, can we go back to Regina, your training in Regina?
Well, my training in Regina was fine.
It was basic training.
Oh, yeah, I could hardly wait to please people. I was happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could, you know, get out on, especially Saturdays and Sundays where we had off.
Mm-hmm.
You can go downtown, you had money in your pocket, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Lots of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed all that. All the way through, I always did well.
Right. What did you do in basic training?
Well, go more left, right, left, right.
Lots of marching, eh?
Lots of marching, yeah. And other things, you know. Even did bayoneting.
Yeah.
Boom, all that. Did all kinds of things.
And you fired weapons?
Oh, yeah. We had a rifle. Everybody had their rifle. But they were, I think when I was in basic training, we used First World War weapons.
Oh, yes.
Old rifles, you mm-hmm. know, that they had. They had a big, long poker on it.
Big, long bayonet on it.
Yeah.
Had you fired a weapon before that? Before basic training, had you fired guns before?
No, very few. Yeah. I wasn't too interested in shooting things.
All right.
I was out a few times. Maybe I got some birds out of the trees mm-hmm. that were edible.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that was basic training. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And so then that was in Regina?
Yeah, this was all in Regina.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you hadn't driven a tank or anything like this yet, because you're not part of Fort Garry Horse yet.
No, I never got into a tank until I got to Camp Borden.
Okay.
When we finished training.
Finished basic training.
Finished basic training.
Okay, so tell me about where you went from basic training on. Go ahead.
Well, when we're finished and we... As a matter of fact, I didn't go right away because I had infection in the ear here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I had to have that done, and I was maybe all of December. All of December and part of the next month.
Friday at what time?
I had, what did they call it? When the
ear infection.
Ear infection, or, yeah. But they have another, the doctors have another name for it.
Oh.
I told them, I was in, matter of fact, I was in the hospital in Regina with this thing. I told them to get them to come on, let's do something. It's painful as heck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my buddy next door, he was a First World War vet.
Oh.
Okay? And we're good friends, and he was an old man. I told him if I knew where my all my clothes were, I'd go and get my clothes and go home. Mother could do better than that. They won't do anything. So he went and told the head nurse. Would you believe that smacked the whole thing going?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I ended up later. They had me in the hospital right away. Cut the what do you call that? There's a term they use for your ear.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it. So your World War I veteran friend got the gears going, got your ear fixed?
He did, yeah.
And
yeah.
You were off to Borden.
And anyway, I the thing healed and everything after, like I say, I was about 2 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they finally said, hey, you're healed, you can get your uniform on and you're free to go out. And that's what I did. And then I walked into the canteen and there was my big brother.
Oh.
Lucky as can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was happy about that. And then I had to do a bit. One of the lieutenants decided I have to do a little marching and things and get going again in the same routine, you know,
right.
They were supposed to. Yeah.
Okay.
So I did all that, and then I went to Camp Borden. The first time I was supposed to go, and I debated should I or should I not go, and I already had it, you know, I was pretty bad. So I was, this time I was good, went to Camp Borden.
Yeah.
And that was wowzers.
Yeah.
You know, we thought that was great. Oh, yeah. And everybody got their berets, and they give you a little thing on the shoulder, you know, a little, to signify that you're a soldier in the tank corps.
In the tank corps.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a tank badge.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fine. I did well there.
Okay. So just tell me some experiences about training there. Did you weren't assigned a regiment at this point, are you? You're just sort of training.
Pardon?
You're not in a regiment right now. You're in Borden. You're just continuing on with your training, right?
Oh,
and you're going into the tank.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. They took us out to one point they took us way up north, quite far north. It took about almost a full day to get there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we had rifles and also tank guns. And I blasted the... they were shooting at a tree, and I knocked it.
All right.
I knocked it right on the close to the bottom, and the tree went over, and I was the big bull. I think I had excellent eyesight at that time. Not
right.
Like now.
Yeah.
No, I'm under health now, bad health.
A little harder to see now.
Giving me trouble.
So they took you out into the bush and had you fire tank guns, just the guns, not on tanks. Just guns.
Well, we did that in camp. They have all the that kind of training in Camp Borden itself.
What kind of tanks were you in?
Tanks in those days, they were Shermans.
Oh, you went straight into Sherman's in Camp Borden?
No, there was an old tank. I can't remember the
name. Were they Rams by any chance?
Uh-huh.
Were they Ram tanks?
Yeah, that's right, Rams. You're right. Ram mm-hmm. tanks, yeah.
And did you...
And we were firing away, and we were firing off shots that had no... or put it, they had no, what you call it?
Powder. They were blanks.
Yeah, blank. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. That's what they were shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I had good eyesight. And all through my career in the military, I always had good eyesight.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's very handy. So you trained in Ram tanks?
Yeah.
And you trained in Sherman tanks?
Yeah. Later, not until we got to England.
Oh, Shermans were in England. You got...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And okay. Overseas, you know, okay. They took them over to Europe right away.
But in Canada, you had Ram tanks.
Yeah.
They
built Ram tanks.
Were you ever in Staghounds?
No, not a Staghound.
You don't remember?
No.
You know what that is, though, right?
Staghound.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a large armored vehicle that has four wheels. And a gun instead of tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it must have been in the armored car, armored reconnaissance area, as opposed to...
I'm not sure. I don't think we had any training like that at all.
But you did the Rams.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, did you do any large tactical training, like with a large number of tanks in?
There were plenty of tanks up in, I forget the name of the place, up north. That's where they did all their, they took the tanks and things up there. There's everything up there, lots of apples in those days.
So lots of equipment.
For you.
For you at this time. Okay, all right. So after that, you got trained on the ram tanks, you learned how to drive, you learned how to fire the weapons.
No, I wasn't much of a driver because I forget what they call that one too. It had a funny shape to it, you know. It was on wheels. We go out to the firing ranges, you know. The guys had to drive their vehicles out.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove those and things like that.
Right. Yeah. Now, were they hard to drive?
No.
No.
No. No, they weren't hard to drive.
Okay. All right.
We did fine.
You did fine. I'm sure.
Well, yeah. And I was always enthusiastic. Let's do it, you know, and all that.
So, you must have trained in Borden for quite some time, or stayed in Borden for quite some time.
Well, I had to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wouldn't put us in draft, in with a draft group until you were 18.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, if you're 17. I was still 17 when I went to Camp Borden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And eventually you were turned 18?
Yeah, yeah. 18 in August.
In the summer.
Yeah, and then I was happily heading for England.
You're eager to get going, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you make it to England?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about your training in England.
Yeah.
Tell me about your training in England.
Oh, that was fine. I did very well there too. Matter of fact, the guys were ready to go down to Italy, and my brother was down there, and I was thinking of going down there too. But I decided I'd like a little more wireless. You know, we were doing Morse code and wireless and all that, you know, how to run the sets and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found out that when I said, could I possibly have some more training in that, when I seen what the guys were doing, I thought it was great. I want that too.
Yeah.
So they let me have it, and they were quite happy.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody that did want to do it, you know, they were happy. They'd do things for you.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. I always got traded very well. I always got along good with the officers or corporals or whoever they were.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so did you say your brother was there as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
where?
In Borden. In England. You met him in England when you went over.
No.
No,
I never met him in England.
Oh, okay.
I had two brothers, a matter of fact, and both of them missed the boat, you know, like, I always became 18 the following year, and as soon as he was 18, he was on his way over too, but he used to come and visit me. At times, and he wanted to get into the Fort Garry horse, and they wouldn't let him.
Mm-hmm.
But he stayed in brigade headquarters. Mm. He had a tank there.
Why wouldn't they let him join the Fort Garry?
Well, they didn't want brothers there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see, one time Al came to visit me, you know. It wasn't very far, you know, not very far at all from maybe to those buildings over there. And that's as far as the way that he was, because he was in brigade headquarters. He knew what was going on all the time.
He did he?
So he found out where I was, and then he'd come. And this one time, we were off the road in the middle of a field. This is where we were billeted, you know. Now this was... we had the tank and everything, and that's when we started putting the extra pads on the end of the pads on the wheels so that we could go through mud with it, you know, and things like that.
So these are Shermans that you're on now?
These are Shermans.
And are you part of the Fort Garry Horse by the time you get to England?
No, I didn't get... We had a choice of where we want to go. We can go to Fort Garry Horse or Sherbrooke Fusiliers or any of those outfits, you know. And I decided to go to Fort Garry Horse because they were tanks and all that kind of stuff, you know, and that's what I wanted. And,
right.
Yeah. I just like the idea.
So you joined the Fort Garry Horse. You decided to go with them. You did some more training in Shermans.
No more. Well, I didn't need any training. I had all the training I needed.
Okay.
By then, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were on the south coast of England, and there was three of us went down together as a group. You know, we evolved. All said we wanted to be here and be there and be there, you know. So they sent us all down. And I was down at Milford-by-the-Sea, if you remember. You never heard of I think it's Milford-by-the-Sea, if I remember correctly.
It's in Hampshire.
Huh?
It's in Hampshire.
Yeah, I guess it, yeah. And in the meantime, when I was training, doing... we did infantry. We had to be good infantry. You had to know how the artillery works, because lots of times, you know, you just got your head over the knoll or something like that. You know, you had to be able to know how to get away, and how where to go and how to do it and all that. They were pretty good guys, you know. They knew everything there was to know.
Were the British training you or Canadians?
Canadians? Oh, yeah, always Canadians.
Always Canadians?
No, I was never under British.
Okay.
Right. And not or anything else for that matter.
Okay. So let's approach June 6th, 1944, D-Day. Your training and your knowledge and preparation for D-Day.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I continued with the wireless and I passed, and I did quite well. So they put me, you know, give me chances to go and do da 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 da. I knew all that, you know, and a lot of things. You had to know. You were supposed to be able to drive a tank, to do everything that has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you take turns in case one guy gets killed or something, you got another guy ready. Yeah. Anyway. Some of those guys. Makes me feel bad. Pardon me.
That's totally okay.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah, you... You remember all the guys.
Yeah, you're working very close to them in tanks. You have to be pretty close to these guys.
We were, pardon me, we were 11 months in the tank. We lived in the tank, slept in the tank, under the tank, all over. Mm-hmm. It was nothing but the tank. We ate from the tank. They'd come out with food. I think that was every third day, too. They'd come out with food.
Right.
Then somebody, one of the guys, would take the just an ordinary oil thing, you know, they run it with oil.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I got one. It's down there somewhere.
Right. A camp stove or a...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So one of your guys would cook for everyone.
Yeah.
Oh,
camp stove.
Nice. And so this is in England.
Oh, this is... Yeah, I'm talking about Europe.
Oh, when you're in Europe. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Oh, in England, we had... although we didn't enjoy the food too much, there was a lot of mutton.
Really?
Yeah.
Not...
My uncle was over there, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And his infantry unit was just kitty corner from where I was. It used to be the old, no longer in existence, but there used to be an old First World War, the upstairs. The guys say it was for horses.
Stables.
Stables. That's the word I'm looking for. Stable. Yeah, and the men were upstairs and the horses were down below.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way they had it set. And that's where we stayed all that winter.
That was in Milford?
Huh?
When was this?
In the winter. Because we were there in the winter, you know. We never got going.
No.
No.
Right. Okay.
For quite a while. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, did you, when you were training for the D-Day invasion?
Yeah.
Do you remember what squadron you were in?
I
A, B, C.
I didn't get into any squadron. We were sort of handy people. I went down to the south coast, to Milford by the Sea, I think it was.
Right.
If it's not there, it's over here. Okay. But anyway, we didn't do much until we seen our first tank. That had gone into a dip and out again, you know, just testing it and all that to see how well it can hold water and so on.
Mm-hmm. So you started training in the DD or the dual drive tanks.
Oh yeah.
When you were in Milford on the Sea, you started driving these tanks with a large canvas, right?
Yeah. Oh, there I didn't drive much, but I got to move it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I took our tank. As a matter of fact, the Queen was going to have a look at the troops, you know. And most of the guys, they'll go, and they were happy. But someone had to stay behind and finish some work in the tank. So I'll do it. I didn't mind seeing the Queen or the King, because they came around, visited pretty near all the troops that were going over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Eisenhower went around, he visited all his troops, you know, and there were others that had gotten around and done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, we were quite happy we're going to go over and do some fighting now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting pretty close.
Pardon?
It's getting pretty close. You're getting excited.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did you have a lot of faith in these tanks that were supposedly going to float on water?
I had faith. I figured that, and they floated.
Yeah?
Yeah, they floated. But I wasn't in one. I was there too late, you know. The whole thing was all taken up with other people, and they had all the people they wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. So you're getting all ready to go in across the channel?
Yeah. Then over to Normandy.
To Normandy?
Yeah.
All right. So, tell me about your trip across the channel.
Oh, I was a bit disappointed. We could have knocked one of these big things that explode down. What the hell are they called? And they put them in the ground and you step on it, boom, you go.
Mines.
Huh?
Mines?
Yeah, mines.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a mine. Bonnie and I, we decided there were some kind of sheets and things in the front of the ship. It was a small one, not a big one.
No. It looks like, I have a picture here. Mm-hmm. See if this is...
Oh, no, it wasn't like that. Oh, no, it had the top and everything. Had everything that goes with the ship.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, it was a little more advanced than that.
And we had they backed the tanks in, and then they put them down with irons, iron, what you call it, you know. What do you call them? They're iron hooks like that. You know.
What are they attaching to the iron hooks?
Well, they had to iron tie every tank down.
Oh, okay. So on the boats, on the landing craft, you're on a small landing craft that you cross the channel in, and they tied the tanks down to the landing craft with iron clamps.
Well, it's a
hooks and wires
hook
and such.
Chain.
Okay.
They were chained down.
Got it.
That's the word I'm trying to find. They were chained down. Yeah.
Okay.
So they wouldn't slide around, or if the weather got rough, they could get bounced around.
Was it a rough crossing?
No, it wasn't.
No?
No.
You didn't get seasick?
No.
That's good.
We almost this big round thing now.
A shell?
Hmm?
A shell? An artillery shell?
Well, it was floating in the water, you know.
Oh, a mine.
Mine, yeah.
A floating mine.
And Buddy and I decided we're going to sleep under this tarp in the front. Up front in the tarp. That's where we wanted to be.
Right.
And we were that way all the way over. And we look up and, hey, there's one. It looks like a mine. And we weren't the width of this building, that's as close as we came to the mine.
Right.
And we told them that there were about two guys there all the time on up high, you know. The officers had a place for them, and there was a lookout up there. And we said, oh, there's a mine over here, you know, and all that.
They weren't worried.
No, they weren't worried.
No.
But the mine itself was came about, maybe the width of this room. And
really close.
Yeah.
Now, were you nervous going over? Did you know what to expect?
Sure.
Yeah?
It didn't bother us.
No.
Nobody.
It was adventure at last.
I only seen one guy over there. He put a gun, he took his pistol out. Everybody had a pistol, right? Every guy had a pistol, his own pistol. And anyway, he put a shot through his foot, and they had took him back.
Oh, he did that on purpose? Because he was nervous?
Well, I never could tell. You couldn't tell.
Oh.
No, we beat him. He was injured, and this was overseas, so we hadn't seen much in the way of action at the time. We were just getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he had this hole in the foot, and in the boot too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think they probably charged him with
self-inflicted injury.
Yeah.
And that was on the boat ride across.
What?
That was in the boat ride across.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So tell me about your landing on the beach.
Well,
do you remember what beach you were going to?
No, I didn't get on. I came off in a truck.
In a truck?
Yeah, because our tank came off, got onto this great big flat thing there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The barge or whatever the heck you call it. They got on, they hooked it on the guy that was driving, and he had a co-driver, and
right.
They hooked it onto there, and away they went, and they had one of these canvas things.
Right.
And anyway, somehow or other, somebody said, hey, there's rocks underneath the water there, you got to be careful. So they start looking around, you know, slowly driving around in circles, and sure as hell they hit a good sized rock underneath the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started going down, so they ended up, there was only the lieutenant and the driver, and they were up about so high in the water.
Up to your chest.
Standing on top of the tank.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was I was just reading about it in that book that talks about the hole in the ground that the tank got into.
Right.
And nose dived in.
Nose dived down.
Down, yeah.
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 Okay.
I wasn't excited.
So the rest of the boat landed safely?
Oh yeah. Oh, so the lieutenant yelled at us and told us to get up on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. The truck had all the ammunition in it.
Right.
Yeah. And we all piled on, and the guy, DeGritz was his name, he was the driver, told him, okay, let's go. Everybody yelled at him, and away we got off, and away we went, and we seen our first Germans.
Yeah.
They already had prisoners. So we went up an incline, and then flattened off, and went and looked to the right, and there was a nice green, platform like shape thing, you know what I mean? And then he says, well, this would be a good place to spend the night because we got no place to sleep. So okay. We'll sleep right here.
Right, right. And that was, so the beach was all taken by this, by the time you'd arrived, the Allies were in possession of the beach.
To put it this way, I'd say that they were using that little piece of ground security for getting off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'd safely got off and...
Yeah, they got off, and there were other people that had trouble and things like that.
Do you remember what your orders were when once you hit the beach? Where were you supposed to go?
Stay on the back of the truck.
Stay on the back of the truck. But where was your squadron supposed to go?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Well, I know. I know. I'm wrong. I know. But I forgot. Ah. They gave everybody a sheet of paper like so,
mm-hmm.
and it told you what to do if you got lost amongst the other troops, how to find your way, who was the top man, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was all laid out. And would you believe I saved one, and I had it. We were living over here on Quadra Street. I must have been mad that day. But I decided, oh, hell, nobody gives a damn about this. I'm going to just throw it out or burn it.
Yeah.
And I burnt it. It was an actual sheet that I got.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, we were on... everybody had a certain amount of space, okay, for getting off on. It was all laid out.
And it's gone now.
Yeah, it's kind of gone.
Right.
Yeah, it's.
So the next day.
Oh, the next day.
Yeah.
Well, we went to sleep that night.
Yeah.
We had a bite to eat. There was some food on there, and we had a bite to eat. And we had a driver and a truck and everything. And next morning we wake up. There's an airplane coming. You know, a fighter plane.
Mm-hmm.
So that woke us all up, and I was leaning against the side of the truck. The other three guys, I was the fourth guy, the other three guys were sort of sleeping together, you know, close to each other, so in case somebody jumped on them, you can help them. Well, anyway... I wake up in the morning and there's this airplane coming. I could hear the, you know, the noise. And he goes by and then the guy gives us a wave, eh? Oh, okay, you know, sure, fine. Then he goes away down a ways and then he turns around and he starts coming back. We think, hey, a little odd, but he's coming back. And would you believe it was a Messerschmitt?
I bet you were surprised.
Well, and the guy was still laying down, and he had his legs apart. And would you believe the shots that the German fired went between his knees, and the dirt was all blown up.
Wow!
Oh yeah. Oh, the guys, you know, instead of being scared, hey, look at the, look at how, what happened to you, stuff like that. You know, that's the way people are.
So, he did get missed, but everybody was laughing at him.
He got missed, yeah. Yeah, they missed him. And the guy went on, and I guess he went back to, there was an airport not too far away. Of course, we didn't know about that. But we had a big fight for that airport late after a while. Near what's the name of the place? Irene.
I think she's gone now.
That's yeah, right. Okay.
Right. So tell me about your advance into France then.
Huh?
Tell me about your advance into France.
Something about advance into France.
You're moving into France at this point, right?
Yeah. Irene needed, what do you call those, what is it we were after?
We were... where the Messerschmitt landed? Where the airport was?
Yeah, it went to the
right.
airport. Yeah, that's when he probably been there, because we had a big fight to get the airport from the Germans.
Right.
What's the name of that city down there?
Caen.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
all right. Tell me about Caen.
Oh, that was tough.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah, we were on the top end, and the Germans were down the other end. And what I liked was there was an aircraft that was all blown to heck there, you know. We like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I'm going to pause for a moment. I'm going to ask you to pause for a moment before we get into France.
Sure.
And I'm just going to check my recording equipment.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, never mind.